from Northern California. It's the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
You know, one of the things I love about the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast is it gives us the ability to showcase talent of so many incarcerated individuals, the talent, the motivation, the drive, what I think is an incredible ability of incarcerated people to complete these massive, amazing projects when they have such limited resources and so many restrictions, so many things. They're not allowed to have this. They're not allowed to have that. They can't get their mail. They can't get color pictures or catalogs, yet they can do these incredible projects. We spoke earlier in the season, I think last year actually, Ben Alverson, who's at a civil commitment center in St. Peter, Minnesota, and he's created this artwork that he's sold worldwide, even to someone in New Zealand. And a few months back, we had Paris Siri Pavaquette on the show, who wrote a prison cookbook that was so much more than a cookbook. It was called Food and Philosophy Behind Bars. And how can she do that? I mean, from where she is, it's so hard. Today, an incredible story, a man named Jason Kurtz. Jason is a member of the site, PenPals.Buzz. He's also an author. From his cell, he actually wrote a series of self-help, personal growth, self-improvement type books. And we're going to talk to him about those books. He also wrote another book, kind of unrelated to that, but equally cool, called Secret Tales of the Supernatural. And he's going to talk about actual supernatural experiences that he's had, and there's lots of them. And he's going to go into a little more depth. We'll be talking to Jason Kurtz here on the phone just momentarily. I think it's so awesome because it's so hard in there to get things done. But at the same time, in a way, it almost gives you this laser focus. If you're committed to an achievement, if you say, this is my goal, I'm going to get this done. Look at this. There's no distractions anymore, right? You can't, like I do, you can't just decide I'm going to go to Reno for the weekend. You can't, like I did last night, spend hours at the hotel bar having pizza and Aperol spritzes. You can't do that, and there's not a hell of a lot to do, right? You can watch the same crap on television. You can play spades with the same, you know, some of them idiots, right, in the day room. You can do that. Or you can just say, you know what? I can do more than that. I can do so much more. It forces you to just sit down and get it done. And because you've had to live so long with so many restrictions and so many rules, so many things you can't do, you just figure out a way. You improvise. You overcome, right? You figure out a way to get it done. And that's what Jason Kurtz has done. How do you pronounce this? I'm good with English, but is it Waupun Correctional?
Waupun, yeah.
Waupun, okay. Correctional Institution. You're in Wisconsin. You've written these amazing books.
Amazing books.
We've got Secrets to Wealth. We've got Secrets to Wisdom. And then there's Secrets to Wealth and Wisdom, which is great if you don't want to, you know, have all the separate, you know, books and all that. It's all combined. And then finally, Secret Tales of the Supernatural. Could you first just, like, tell everybody just a brief background about who you are?
Sure, sure. Well, I'm a native of Wisconsin, and I was certified in personal training, and gym management and sales were my passions. I wrote these books because, you know, we're only allowed a certain amount of books to have, and I started buying these self-help books, and I couldn't keep the books. So I could read them, but then I had to give them up if I wanted to read other books. So basically what I did is I started to take the books that I read, and I wrote down the main important information from the self-help books. And they're wonderful books. I mean, I've got 125 of probably the best authors that you could find for self-improvement and self-help books. And if I could name a couple names, they're great books that you probably have heard of. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Okay.
The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. All the Money in the World by Laura Vanderkamp. Power Phrases, you know, just a few of the books would be One Simple Act, A Simple Act of Gratitude.
I remember when I was locked up, and it's been a while, I found this book in the library called Never Be Lied To Again.
Yeah, I've got that in my book, Secrets to Wisdom has that.
You never know if a guy says, hey, if you give me this, I'll pay you back next week. You know, and I'm like, is this guy lying to me? And so I bought this thing to try to understand. And that was written by like a former FBI guy. So, I mean, that was pretty valuable. But I understand what you're saying, dude. We had a limit of 17 books and magazines, and that included the Bible and 17. And if you had like 18, then they just take it. They take it away. And that sucked.
We could only have 25 publications, and I just read these books, and I thought, I want to read them again at some point. And so I just wrote the main points down in a giant two notebooks. I'm sure you would have loved these books. 100 Simple Secrets of Success. Like you said, Never Be Lied To Again by David Lieberman.
Uh-huh.
I got Mind Games by Michael Powell. One of the best books in here. 6 Keys to Unlock and Empower Your Mind by Mark Salem. Experiments in Mental Suggestion. Building Great Sentences, Subliminal by Leonard Mildenhall. Now, that's a book, Subliminal. We don't even realize in our society how much advertising is subliminally trying to reach your subconscious mind. And that's another great book I have in there is The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And
how many books total are compiled into this collection you've done?
There's 125 of the best self-help and prosperity books that you could find that I could locate.
You've basically spent, I mean, what, years reading 125 or more books?
10 years.
10 years. So
you spent
10 years and you read 125 books and you hand wrote in a notebook all of the best parts of each of these books, right? And then you decided instead of having 125 books for people, I can make this all one unbelievable book that has all of this information.
Exactly.
How'd you get that done from where you're at?
You got to find a self-help publisher. I mean, self-publisher, and then you got to pay him because it's not easy to get a publisher. So I had to pay for these. And luckily, the stimulus check money helped me get the funds to pay people to put these books together for me. And once I got it put together, I thought, this is amazing stuff. This is something, see, I did this because I published this because I wanted to do others what I would want have done to me. So I would have loved to have this book instead of 125 books to read. I would have loved to have this one 458-page book. This book is for the time crunch person that doesn't have the time to read 125 books but wants to glean the information from those books.
They don't want to spend 10 years. And I'm thinking of the cost of 125 books. I don't know how you were buying these, but we're talking thousands of dollars probably, yeah, right, to get that.
We're talking a lot of money. And these were legitimate books. They weren't hand-me-down books. They were brand new. They cost a lot of money. And who wants to spend that kind of money?
All calls other than properly placed attorney calls may be monitored and recorded.
Blah, blah. I hate that lady.
I had the time to do this. So within that time frame, I just read a little bit each day, documented the things that were most important in the book so I could go back later and read it. I didn't originally intend on publishing a book. I originally intended on documenting everything, so I had my own notes on all these books. But then as it accumulated and the more books I had, I thought, this is really something that I should share with other people because there's a lot of people that don't want to read all these books, so this gives you the information. It's a genius thing. It's a concept idea because I've never seen like 100 self-help books into one book.
That's incredible. I want to get into some of the benefits people can get, but just briefly before I do, I'm thinking of this like wise man, Jason Kurtz, sitting there in Wisconsin with knowledge from hundreds of these books on personal growth. And do you have like a bunch of guys? Yeah. I mean, are you like the new guy where if someone needs advice, they're like, hey, bro, I think my girl's going to leave me. What should I do? Are you like that guy now with all the answers?
I really don't talk to people. I spend my time in myself. I don't really interact with a lot of people.
There's probably a book there that says, you know, solitude is wise.
If you're in prison, it's much safer to stay in your room.
Yeah. Tell me what do you think? Like, let's say somebody buys this book tomorrow and they're available on Amazon. We also, if you go to penpals.buzz/inmate/Jason-Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z, or just search for Jason Kurtz on penpals.buzz, we have links to all of the books that are available that you've written. But if somebody were to go to Amazon and they purchase this book, either the Kindle version or the paperback, they're anywhere from, I think, $6.50 for the Kindle version up to maybe $20 for some of the paperbacks. What kind of benefits might somebody see? I mean, it sounds like a ton, but just give us some examples of how these books could help someone that's maybe going through a rough time in their life.
Every aspect of somebody's life, people can improve through these books. Everything from salesmanship to auto suggestion to mind reading to clairvoyance to relationships and dating and what women want. I have a book called Get Anyone to Do Anything by David Lieberman. If you want to learn how to get what you want, this book does it. The Like Switch by Jack Schaefer, How to Get People to Like You. I have a Everything Body Language book by Shelley Hagen. Everything you want to learn about body language. I can study somebody, just I can tell somebody's disposition just by looking at them, whether they look off to the left or they look off to the right, which way their feet are pointed. That's all in this book. Another book called Flirting 101, How to Flirt Properly.
Oh, wow.
You can flirt with the same sex, and it's okay if you know how to do it. I have a complete guide to massage. I mean, I've got all the tips that you could do for a perfect massage for somebody.
Wow, oh my God.
I got a book called Super Forecasting, tells you how to read the future. I've got a great book called Rules for the Modern Man by Dylan Jones. You know, this is like a how to be a gentleman kind of a book. You know, yeah. This is the real science of sex appeal, persuasion and influence, if you want to learn persuasion and influencing people. I've got books on hypnosis, how to hypnotize other people, how to hypnotize yourself, how to be a people magnet. You know, every aspect of your life can be increased through the knowledge of these books. And I'm not saying I'm the one that's given the information. I'm just taking this from what I've read from years and years.
Who else is going to take? I mean, that's worth like thousands of dollars. I mean, 10 years of compiling this. And you're not telling people the stuff that was kind of boring or didn't really seem relevant. I mean, you're just picking out the good stuff in each of these books. You know, I would flirt with you, Jason. I've just decided not to. I'm drinking this pina colada as much as that flirting idea. It's intriguing, but I think we can wait for a while on that. I don't know if you are able or willing to give out any of the secrets, but maybe, you know, just to give someone like a sneak, do you have like one secret to, let's say, wealth, like one good secret to wealth? You can just kind of give people a little glimpse of a tidbit of something that they could glean from.
Sure. I mean, I literally just open one of my books and I'll just go right to any page and I'll just read from any section because it doesn't, I don't even have to cherry pick anything out of the book because everything has already been cherry picked.
Okay.
You are what you imagine yourself to be. If you're broke, you haven't convinced your subconscious that you will always have plenty. A wealth is simply a subconscious conviction on the part of the individual. That's from the power of your subconscious mind.
So,
doesn't just have that. Now, in fact, you know what? Let me ask you a question, Steve.
Yeah, go for it, man.
What is something that you feel that would improve your life, like you would like to know about?
I would like to have like a better communication within my marriage.
Well, here's one. Why women have sex.
Okay, that's even better.
That's a big one. But here's one that I really think you would like. It's called The Man's Guide to Women by Julie Gottman and John Gottman. Now, this would help you probably figure out what women are thinking and so on and so forth. That's chapter 71, Secrets to Wisdom. I also have another book called How to Create Chemistry with Anybody, with Anyone by Lyle Loudness. If you want to learn how to create chemistry with your wife, this is a great book that teaches you that.
I'm on Amazon looking at your books. Man, I want to buy all of these things. I don't want to sound like one of those cheesy, you know, those guys on like the Home Shopping Network that are selling onion choppers. And they're like, oh my God, this onion chopper will save your life and it'll make your life so much better. And I don't want to sound like that guy, but I think these books are priced too low. I mean, I really do. $12.99 for Secrets to Wealth. I mean, you can get it on the Kindle for $6.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, maybe this dude needs to raise his prices. I don't know. It's just a thought I had. And I'm trying to decide, like, what to buy.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's no possible way I could just buy Wealth or Wisdom. I mean, because if I bought the Secrets to Wealth, I'm going to be like, man, I got to get the other one.
Secrets to Wealth is cool. What it is those are all prosperity books, just solely about money. And there's only 25 prosperity books in Secrets to Wealth, but that was all that I felt I needed. The Secrets to Wisdom has more about like a every other aspect of your life, everything else. You're missing out if you miss out the wisdom. And you know what? I felt like the prices were, I mean, they are kind of low.
Yeah.
But that's kind of comparable to other books out there. So I wanted to just be comparable.
The book sounds so amazing. Like, it sounds like your book is incomparable to all the others too. I don't know. I'm just like putting it out there. I'm going to buy these because I think you're going to, at one point you're going to decide, I got to raise these prices and I want to buy this before you do that. So, because I don't want to spend too much.
I want to get a deal.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I did let my neighbor read it one time and he said that the title doesn't hold a candle to the contents.
Okay.
And I asked him, well, what's a better title? And he couldn't think of one. And I can't think of a better one because it's got so many things it covers. It just covers everything. Like, whatever you could think of, what do you want to know of? I mean, it's got, there's so many things in those books that, like, okay, for example, does anybody know the color of roses and what they signify? That's in the book. Red is passion and true love. Light pink is desire and energy and passion. Yellow is friendship.
I needed to read this, Jason, like years and years ago, my first marriage, I came home with roses and no shit. Like, I'm not even kidding. I think I brought home like yellow or something in it. And it was like, she's like, oh, so I'm just a friend? And I was like, no, it's because I thought they were beautiful. Yeah. And I love, yeah, I didn't even know, man. I was so stupid. So I needed to, man, that could have saved me so much hardship.
Here's another excerpt from Flirting 101 that you talked about, that you're going to have a couple drinks and flirt with me. Eye contact and smiling are the two initiators. Research has shown that an average person who smiles is more attractive than an overly attractive man who doesn't smile.
I'm smiling right now, but they can't tell. Like, but my smile's like amazing. I mean, I could get some whiter teeth, but no, I got a great smile.
You could think about it. A smile is more attractive than a more attractive man who doesn't smile.
Man.
Smiling at someone is the ultimate acceptance and acknowledgement.
Oh,
so if there's one thing you want to do to people when you greet them, is smile. You want to talk about this Secret Tales? Or?
So, I mean, I want to talk about it, but I mean, man, check this out. I mean,
you want to keep.
The spaceship has landed, and now we want to transition. So you've written these self-improvement books, personal growth, self-help, whatever the word is now. But you wrote this other book that, let me play this one more time. I feel I need to set the mood. I got to set the stage. Secret Tales of the Supernatural. Now, this is not like the other books, so tell everybody kind of what this book is.
Well, let me read the back to you. This is the back bio, okay? It says, Secret Tales of the Supernatural, spooky tales, things that go bump in the night, witches, brews, and ghostly ghouls. This book's got it all, from alien sights to all-night frights. The author takes you through an amalgamation of satanic sights and supernatural sights and all things that go bump in the night. So grab a hot tea or hot cocoa or Chablis and center yourself in for the Secret Tales of the Supernatural. This book is a completed true project of nonfiction. All people, places, and experiences in it are 100% real, honest, and accurate. So if you love true ghost stories, then you'll love the Secret Tales of the Supernatural. So get cozy and be prepared to be 100% totally scared.
Man, we need to
all
get
calls
you.
Other than
oh, shut up, lady.
Placed attorney
shut
calls
up, lady.
May be monitored and recorded.
All right, she's done. I want to get you to do, you need to do like an audio book, man, on Audible, because man, that voiceover was spectacular right there. I like that. That makes it more scary when it's actually true. It's not just some imaginative stuff you made up. So where'd you get these true stories from?
So I'm reading a book called Haunted Wisconsin, and I'm from Wisconsin, so I wanted to read about, you know, haunting from Wisconsin.
Right.
I'm reading the book. Now, there's a chapter about a man named Major Hobart that was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And as I'm reading about this, the mansions in the 1800s weren't considered what our today's mansions are. They were more like brick houses.
Okay.
But this particular brick house that was on, I think, like 12th or 13th and State Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, had supposedly a ghost by the name of Major Hobart. Now, as I'm reading this story in this book, it triggered a memory that I had that I visited a friend of mine who lived at this house. The Major committed suicide in the house. My friend wanted to commit suicide in this house. Now, when I went to visit him, I forgot all about it until I read the story. When I went to, this was in like the 90s, when I went to visit him, I remember him telling me that they had a ghost, and it was a notorious ghost in that house. And they showed me where the guy hung himself from a chandelier, and then they showed me the steps they used to hear step foots on. And then I went up the steps to the bedroom where the guy lived, and he showed me the bedroom, and that's when he started telling me about all these noises they would hear in the house and all these things. But back then, I didn't think much of it. After I read that book, I told somebody, and I said, man, I was in this house that had this haunt, and I remember them telling me about it. And then I started thinking about all of the stories that I had of friends that have experienced ghosts and things like that. So I started writing them down, and I put like 25 different stories about true hauntings. Now, if you've ever picked up a ghost story book, you're going to read about somebody that documented all of the stories that they found online on a newspaper. So that's interesting, right? Okay, so where's the first hand? I get second hand books. Where's the first hand? Where's the guy that writes the book that says, hey, I've experienced all of these supernatural experiences, and I haven't been able to find one? So I wrote one firsthand, my personal experiences with all of these amazing ghost stories and phenomenons. I had a friend of mine when I was 14. His babysitter was a medium that did a seance at midnight at their house without their parents home, and they conjured up some spirits that they saw land in their living room, unlock windows, and blow out candles with the medium in the middle of the room doing a seance. I had a friend of mine that has a documented haunted house from Wisconsin. His name was Lynn, and they had the fire department there because the neighbors kept calling the police because they thought that the house was on fire. My friend said that he saw his grandma at the bottom of the steps in a rocking chair, and she had already passed, and the basement was on fire. I was in the house. They said he had a noid doll that used to run around on the floor when the lights turned off overnight, and the doll would end up in a different part of the room when he woke up in the morning. I talked to a ghost in Ybor City in Tampa, Florida for 1 hour at an abandoned cigar factory.
That's unbelievable.
That happened to me personally.
My wife took me to this psychic and healing arts fair in Sacramento, and they had a lot of mediums and whatnot. We listened to a lecture from a guy talk about his UFO abduction. And at the end, I mean, it was very clear to all of us, this guy is just batshit crazy, right? This guy is totally insane. But when I'm hearing you talk, and I've been talking to you for a while, you're an educated guy, you're a smart man, you're not crazy, you're not insane. Like, you're making sense. Like, so I believe you. When you're telling me these stories, I believe them, right? And I don't believe a lot of the people that tell the stories, I just think they're crazy. But you're not crazy, and I genuinely believe that all this stuff happened. And that's, to me, that's what makes a book like Secret Tales of the Supernatural, where you've had personal experiences or you've been connected in some way to these stories. I mean, that's so much more appealing to me. It's something I'd want to read because I believe it.
Yeah. There's no exaggeration and no spin on the stories. Let me tell you a crazy story. I had a friend of mine that said that he knew of a satanic church, and we were thrill seekers. You know, everybody does it when you're younger. You want to go thrill seek and see different places. Well, this guy said there was a satanic church. We drove 45 minutes to an hour north of Milwaukee, and it was a dark night, you know, when all the whole shebang, dark, you know, it was a dark and stormy night, but it wasn't really stormy. We drove 45 minutes north, and then we got to like where it was real pitch black, and I didn't know where I was going, and he knew where we were going. So he goes, hey, turn down this street, right? And we turned down the street. It looks like Elm Street from Fred Krueger, and it was pitch black, and it had houses on one side, but they all looked dilapidated, and there were no lights on at any of the houses, inside or out. No porch lights, nothing. We drive slowly down this road that's, like, beat up. I mean, the road is, like, you don't want to drive too fast because it's got potholes everywhere, and it's just, I mean, it's a scary, very, very scary situation. As soon as we got out of the car, we looked up at the sky, and I had never seen Northern Lights before, but it looked like it was possibly Northern Lights. The entire sky was showering lightning. It covered the complete sky. So it wasn't like the Alaska Northern Lights where it's like green and purple and wavy. This was like clouds, showering clouds streaking across the sky. And we both looked at each other. And here we are supposedly at a satanic church. And we freaked out. And I got back in the car and I just drove the heck out
all
of there.
Calls other than properly placed attorney calls may be monitored and recorded.
But I detailed this story in the book, and it's a very interesting way that I put it. And what I do is when I wrote the book, I tried to put the reader in my eyes. You know, I tried to put them how I felt, what it looked like, the time of day, the atmosphere, the ambiance. So when you read it, you feel like you're there. There's so many stories like that in this book that are so creepy, and I just put them all in there because it all kind of pertains to the supernatural and death and Halloween. And
they always say the truth is stranger than fiction, and it sounds like the truth in this case is a hell of a lot scarier than fiction, too. I mean, you could go read a Dean Koontz book or whatever, but, you know, he's just making that up in his brain. But this stuff is, like, legit, man. Like, you were there. That's the thing I think people need to realize, like, how scary is it when something really happened versus just watching E.T. on television or something, right?
That's exactly right. You know, when it happens to you firsthand, it doesn't become that fun feeling that you have when you rent a movie and you plug it in and you watch it. Well,
right. You're not getting the popcorn. You don't have the large Coke and the Junior Mints. None of that, huh? You're just getting the hell out.
You don't got the comfort of grabbing your wife or significant other and feeling safe. So when you're sitting in your house and you're watching a program about the devil and some guy says the devil knocks three times and suddenly you hear a knock at your window three times, you'll suddenly become a little bit afraid.
What's your plan, man? Let's say you end up with a ton of cash from this book. It's successful. I know you're getting out of there at some point in the relatively near future. Do you have a plan for what you'd like to do with the money?
I don't expect to make a living off of selling books. You know, I've got other things that I'm going to do when I get out. Mm-hmm. I have pursuits, so I'd rather pursue my passions than make the money, you know, because if you read my books, a lot of it talks about you know, reaping what you sow and you get what you put out there. And to be honest with you, giving is really getting. When you give freely, you're actually giving to yourself and you give to other people, and the whole point is sowing. So I've already thought about that. You know, what happens if it was $1 million, I'm not going to live on it. I'm going to probably use it for other things. You know, there's other things I want to do in life. I want to act. You know, I want to do stand-up comedy. You know, these are things, these are just catalysts for me to do other things with my life when I get out, you know, so.
Yeah, I think of it kind of like with the podcast here at penpals.buzz, we decided we're going to do this a couple of years ago, and we start cranking out episodes, and we're like, oh, man, we're going to have 1,000 listeners, whatever, and we go and look, and there's like 3 downloads the first week, right? And I'm like, damn, we did a lot of work to put these out, and so. But I mean, it still felt good that 3 people cared enough to listen. But now that the numbers are growing, even though we're not making any money doing this, it just feels good that other people care about our passion. And I'm sure for you, I mean, you're sharing this knowledge that you've gained, and other people being able to benefit from that has got to be a good feeling. What was it like, man? How long did it take you to write this? What's the process there? Do you have typewriters? Do you have computers? How'd you get this all done and from your confinement?
I would read and then come across something that seemed like a nugget of wisdom. And I would write that down and I would say, okay, this is the point that the author's trying to make. And I continue to do this, but I did this for about an hour a day where I would read and then write.
Did you submit this? Was this like handwritten that you submitted to the publisher? Did you have to retype everything? How did that go down?
I got all these books together and we started getting tablets. And tablets came with an email account through CoreLinks. And as that happened, we had a huge allotment of character space I could use for my emails. We were allowed to buy foldable rubber keyboards to attach to the tablet.
Oh, so perfect.
I emailed all of my books to the publishers. So I could type probably, you know, maybe 60 words a minute or so, and I just would type it up and send it to the publisher, and they would copy paste, put it together for me. And it does cost money.
Yeah.
You know, if you're self-publishing, it does get, there's a fee, you know, it could cost up to $2,500 a book.
You're a fascinating man, Jason, and this podcast episode is fascinating. I know people listening are like, oh my God, that guy's amazing. I'm hoping that's what they're saying. And they're going to want to get to know you more, learn more of your story. And you are on penpals.buzz. If you go to our site and search for Jason Kurtz, they're going to find your profile. How can people, if let's say they want to just write to you and say hi, and maybe they'll buy your book, and then they want to contact you and talk about the book, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the email service, you can go through gettingout.com and then search for my name and ID number. My person ID number is 495-483. And then you can reach me by mail at Waupun Correctional Institution, P.O. Box 189, Phoenix, Maryland, 21131.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast at penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.buzz is a division of SnapTura Inmate Services.